Small Biz America.
The brain.
Jerry Strox says that most businesses are overmanaged and underled. He's a speaker, author, certified professional coach, and leadership consultant. Joining us on the line from San Francisco, the Bay Area, is Jerry Strox. His company is Petra Consulting and Coaching Incorporated. Jerry, welcome to the program.
Thank you, and I'm really happy to be here this morning, David.
So I'm curious, you've had a broad range of experience, 25 years in high tech, marketing, product management strategy, management consulting, a little chapter in family business, as I understand, and even a BA in physics. How did the mix of experiences lead to you finding consulting and then ultimately informing the work you're now doing?
Well, actually, it's been an interesting journey. You know, like life usually is, you can't predict how you're going to get from one place to another. When I graduated from college, the Vietnam War was going on, and it's an interesting story, but it was a cat that kept me from getting my PhD in physics and kept me from my original plans and going into the Army and all that, because it kicked up my asthma and then I was gone. So something as simple as a cat can make a difference. What I found is that my passion is around solving challenging problems. The more challenging the problem, the more I love it. And physics, when you're going through school, I mean, name a course that's going to have more challenging problems. I mean,
right? You're clearly, and I haven't studied, but you're solving problems continually, aren't you?
Continuously, absolutely. And then I got into business, and again, challenging problems. Well, as you're well aware, the .com bubble was an interesting time in many people's lives. It was an interesting time in my life. And when that hit and I found myself not working, I was looking for other things to do, not so that I wouldn't be quite at that same level of risk. And so I ended up looking into some other programs, ended up studying some psychology, getting working on a master's degree in organizational development, organizational psychology. And again, discovered that there are all kinds of problems in relationships, in working with people. And it was just a perfect fit, you know. I just love working with people. I just love coaching. And suddenly discovered that all my years of teaching, all my years of working in business, that I was managing and teaching as a coach. And so coaching is me. And I have been at it since 2003. And love every minute of it.
Jerry, let's take the concept of overmanaged and underled. What's the real difference between managing and leading?
Well, if it's okay, I'd like to turn that back on you as a question. If I said to you, someone, you know, Joe led the hike, or I said, Joe managed the hike, I mean, would there be any connotations that went with those two that would be different?
Absolutely. Within the words themselves, there certainly is a connotation difference.
And I agree. I believe that if you're going to lead the hike, you're talking about making the decisions and plans about where you're going to go. You're doing some preparation for it. And then when the hike actually takes place, you're in the front and you're leading. You've decided where the people are going, etc. If you're managing the hike, it's sort of like the football team manager. They make sure that all the stuff is there, but they're not the one that's calling the shot. They're not the quarterback.
Do you think of it as the management is tactical and the leadership is strategic?
The way I characterize it is that managing is about doing things right. You're very much focused on the status quo and keeping things running smoothly. And I think leadership is more about doing the right things. It's dealing with change. It's initiating things that maybe haven't ever been done before.
So digging in a little bit deeper to your concept of leadership, what do you think makes a great leader?
Well, if you've ever done a Google search on the web of leadership coaches or leadership trainers, I would be hard pressed to identify a particular number, but there are thousands of them. You know, everybody that gets interested in leadership or wants to get into coaching talks about their leadership coaching or their leadership training. So there are lots and lots of good models out there. Anybody that wants to be a better leader, there's no excuse. There's plenty out there to do it. My personal opinion, you know, is just another one among many, but I believe that a good core list of things that a model or a leader would have to have would include things like having a good vision. Where do you want to go? Being able to communicate it effectively. Like Jim Collins' Good to Great, surround yourself with a very powerful, cohesive team of people that you actually do empower to do their best. Caring about them, helping them be successful. Modeling excellence. Demonstrating integrity in speech and in action. Focusing on building and leveraging your strengths, your team's strengths, your company's strengths. And probably one that gets left out a lot is remembering the 80-20 rule, that if you aim for 100% perfection, you're never going to get anything done. You've got to accept the fact that with 20% of the effort, you're going to get 80% of the benefit. And, you know, you take an Apollo moonshot, they didn't aim for perfection on the path to the moon. They got it reasonably close, and they let the steering jets along the way make the correction. If you look at the statistics, they were only exactly on the path about 1% of that trip, and yet they landed on the moon. And we can do the same thing, just have to be reasonably on the right target, and then make the mid-course corrections.
I always love those flying metaphors. We're visiting with Jerry Strox. He's the president of Petra Consulting and Coaching. That website, www.petracaci.com. I know that you are enthusiastic and like to speak about sustainability. First of all, how do you define sustainability? And then why is it important to us to understand?
Well, sustainability is something that actually is a concept that I have borrowed from the biological and environmental ecological jargon. When they talk about a sustainable environment or a sustainable ecology, it has all the pieces needed to keep it going on a long-term basis. That there may be adjustments in what plants live there and what animals live there, but the plants feed the animals, and the animals' excrement feeds the plants, and there's circulation and all of that stuff. In leadership, I would characterize sustainability as creating a culture of leadership that builds leaders on an ongoing basis and make sure that you have a solid pool of successors, and basically you're training up your successors as you go with every decision you make, every interaction you make. I can't say that I've ever really refined that to a succinct definition, but that kind of gives you the flavor of it.
It could be that it's very different for each organization.
Absolutely.
But it sounds also like you're talking about and getting to the core of what it means to be long range in terms of thought and building culture. Is that how you see it, or maybe differently?
Yeah, I would say that a lot of the leadership coaching and training that we find is all about improving individual skills, and I tend to be a learner that likes to focus on learning from metaphors and analogies, because I have seen so many instances where this wheel has been invented before and I don't have to reinvent it. All I have to do is take the principles that they use there and apply them in a new situation. And it's really the core of coaching too, which is helping people connect the wisdom that they already have with this new situation. So in terms of building leadership, it's all about being a good leader and being able to transfer that to people. It's like the old master apprentice kind of approach. Is very, but you need to be very intentional about it in order to pull it off.
When a client comes to you and they're sensing that they need some of what you've got in terms of some leadership coaching, where do you typically start with them?
Just like in a good conversation, just like a good salesman would do it, you really have to start with listening. And in coaching, listening not only means listening to what they say, it means reading their body language, it means listening between the lines to what's behind it and probing, asking those questions. But it also includes a form of listening which I would characterize as, you know, assessments, taking them through Myers-Briggs test or doing something with the Enneagram or Thomas Kilman, conflict management profiles or something like that. It depends on what their presenting issue is. What are they trying to do? Are they trying to reach a goal they've never met before? Are they trying to prepare themselves for a promotion? Have they just been promoted and they want to make sure they're going to do well in the position? But based on that situation, I construct a way of gathering the raw material to know where they are, fully understand where they want to go so that I understand the gap. The whole point is to identify that gap, because once you have the gap, you can talk about a program to get there. I think it was, I can't tell you who said it, but I've heard it multiple times, that a problem well stated is a problem half solved, and that's really what we're aiming for.
Chair, I'm curious, you've had a lot of experience in family business, or at least your share of it. How, if at all, is the game different around constructing a culture, a leadership culture, in the context of family relationships? And how do you suggest clients with family businesses manage that?
One of the challenges with a family business is that there is a whole dynamic behind the scenes in the blood relationship that really needs to be acknowledged. And I think that, being transparent about it, being able to sit down and talk to each other honestly, recognizing the difference between the family relationship and the business relationship. And that's not something that always happens, but someone that isn't currently doing that, I would suggest that they actually sit down with their family members. It's probably better to do it not one-on-one, but to do it one-on-many, or many-to-many, if you will, to actually start to discuss if there are ways that the family relationships are impinging on their business effectiveness.
Yeah.
And this is another one of those sustainability things. The first conversation is not going to solve it all. But if you're doing it in a sustainable way, then the first conversation will get you past a small hurdle, and that's great. The second conversation will get you a little farther. And just view these conversations as one in a long series of iterations, that you're going to do these conversations a little bit at a time. You want to keep the stakes low in terms of what your expectations are for any given meeting. But the point is open communication, being transparent and talking to each other. That is really the core.
Open.
If you can talk, you can resolve problems.
Jerry, what forms does your coaching practice take? Is it one-on-one, a little bit of group? You go into organizations or even family businesses? Just curious what types of forms it takes.
Actually, I apply coaching in a lot of different ways. I prefer the one-on-one coaching, and actually prefer face-to-face when they're actually in the Bay Area, but I do phone coaching and have had clients all over the United States. I am also a management consultant, so I find myself in Silicon Valley pretty regularly, and quite frequently a client will need some coaching. Life happens. And
yeah.
Sometimes those situations come up, whether they're a business relationship, whether they're a business goal, whether there's something. And I always ask permission. I want to make sure that my clients know whether I'm wearing my coaching hat or whether I'm wearing my consulting hat. So I'm very explicit about that. But I'm also starting to do some group coaching. I realize that small businesses can't afford my corporate consulting rates, or they probably can't even afford my corporate coaching rates. And so what I'm doing is I'm setting up what I would call group coaching via teleseminar. Everybody knows how to run a telephone, so I'm not doing webinars, but doing it via conference calls where a small group, you know, three or four folks would be coached as a group, and there might be other people listening in, because what I find is that it doesn't matter what problem you're working on, there are all kinds of other people that are having that same problem. You're not unique. You don't have to feel like you're a bad person because you have this problem. But let's work on it together and solve it for you.
Sure, sure. Great, Jerry. Thanks so much. I should mention that you have an ebook entitled Top 10 Reasons Businesses Fail and How to Avoid Them, a free ebook. And for those listening interested in downloading that, at www.sustain21.com. And you can download that free ebook from Jerry Strox and Petra Consulting and Coaching. Jerry, thanks so much for joining us on the Small Biz Brain. Pleasure to have you.
It's been a delight, and thanks for inviting me, David.
Small Biz America.
The Brain.
Online at smallbizamerica.com.
Small Biz.
Small Biz America.